If you don't mind, I'll ask you just to let me start out slow here and just read a little bit with you. You read along together, and I'll preach quick this morning. I may start slow, but I'll preach quick and I'll end early. And you've heard that before, I know. But I will end early this morning. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I simply come to you. Dear God, not in the strength of the flesh, dear Lord, not with any aspirations of my own, Lord, as it pertains to preaching a good message this morning. But God, I come to open the Word of God and ask you, dear Lord God, to use it. And Father, to speak to our hearts, dear God, to guide us this morning. And dear Lord, I ask you just to have your way, Father, give us the strength to preach and the wherewithal to listen. Lord, help us, dear God. And we're here this morning on business. And Father, we ask that you do business among us and with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. And let's just read verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He says, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit of works by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He says, you received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Verse 3, he says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He said, have you suffered so many things in vain? But yet, if it be yet in vain, he said, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Notice, we keep going back and forward. There's a comparison being made by the Apostle Paul between law and faith. He begins speaking to these people, and he says, O foolish Galatians. He says, who hath bewitched you? That's pretty strong language. He says to call them a foolish people. And then ask them, who's bewitched you? Who's fooled you? Who, so to speak, has pulled the wool over your eyes? Who's deceived you? He said that you should not obey the truth. He said you've been lied to, and he said you're willing to obey the lie rather than take heed to the truth. And today there are far more people willing to obey a lie than there are those that are willing to heed the truth. It seems like that it's easier for someone to accept a lie than it is to accept the truth. It seems like people are more hunger for a lie more than they hunger for the truth. Especially it's true in churches. The churches today that appear to be flourishing, and I don't say that in any kind of a way where I covet any other church or any other group of people, because I really don't think that numbers is what indicates the blessings of God. Because there are churches that have methods and techniques and manners, and they bring in multitudes of people, and man, the people come in. But we're not looking just to build a great big church and get a bunch of people here. What we do here week in and week out, it pertains to eternity, not just to the temporal. We're not trying to build some kind of a thing here where we just say, well, look how many people we got, or look how big a building we had to build, a new building. Look how big this is. We're not trying to do that. Listen, we just want to, we believe, and I believe this morning as a preacher, and I believe the majority of this church believes that the great importance in life is not this life, but the life hereafter. And if you get settled the hereafter, if you get settled the life hereafter, then it'll make this life a whole lot better. But if you strive to make this life better than the hereafter and forsake and neglect to consider the hereafter, then the betterment that's brought in this life is but a damnation to your soul. There's a story in the Bible. You have to forgive me this morning. I'm trying. There's a story in the Bible about a rich man. I always tell you, I'll stop with the jacket. There's a story in the Bible about a rich man. The Bible says that There was a beggar that laid at the gate of the rich man's house, and the rich man died. The rich man had everything. He had a comfortable home. He had a nice bed. He had all the food that he could eat. He had cooks to prepare the food for him. He had everything fixed for him just right. And the Bible says that there was a beggar that laid at the gate of his house. The beggar begged for the crumbs that fell from the table. He would fight the dogs for the food that was thrown out the front door of that rich man's house. And the Bible says that somehow or another, the rich man died. And the Bible says that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The beggar's name was Lazarus. The Bible says that Lazarus died, and he went instantly to be with the Lord. What a blessed thought that is. And the Bible says that this rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he prayed and he begged for a drop of water to cool his tongue. And he said he was tormented in the flame. And the word that came to him was that you in your lifetime, you had good things. And he said, and Lazarus in his lifetime, he didn't have such good things. He said, but now Lazarus is comforted and you're tormented. Would to God that rich man that died, he didn't die and go to hell because he was a rich man. But he died and went to hell because his life was all centered around this life, this existence. And you say, well, you get saved and you'll never have any problems. Well, that Lazarus might preach a different sermon to you when it pertains to this life. Lazarus might tell you that sometimes things get hard. And I believe the verse in the Bible, it said he not suffer his seed to beg bread. I believe God will provide all your needs. But for some reason or another, I think this man Lazarus is an extreme example. The truth of the matter is, in this life, it stunk. He didn't have anything. I mean, he was a beggar. And to the extreme, but it didn't matter because when this life ended, his life ended parallel with the rich man's life. And when this life ended, he instantly went to a place called heaven where he's comforted for eternity. And the other man, though he had the extreme, he had all the blessings it seemed like and all the good it seemed like. And it seemed like that it was exactly opposite the way it should be. However, when he died, he went to a place of torment. And he's being tormented even now. Right now, he's still there tormented in the flames. So you see, it's not just about what you have now. It's about what you have in heaven. And today, though, people want to believe the lie. They want to come to church and they want to hear somebody tell them how they can, how you can have a happy life right now and how you can have everything good right now. And they'll sacrifice preaching that prepares them for eternity if they think someone can give them a little pep talk to make them feel good for a little bit. They'll sacrifice the preaching of the truth of the Word of God from the preacher as long as they can go to church for a little bit and hear some music that entertains them and gets a little life to it. And they'll sacrifice that and they'll go to a church where there's no gospel being preached and no truth being preached. And they'll flock in by the multitudes. So I don't envy that. I'm sad for them people today. I'm sad for them. What I desire this morning for you that are here is I desire God's blessing on your life. My desire for you that are here is that you'll have a home in heaven where you'll enjoy the blessings of God for all of eternity. I know this. I know that if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Amen. And I know this. I know that if you're saved, you have the wherewithal to live a blessed and happy life down here. Even if you don't have much, you can still be a happy person because of the blessings of God. Amen. Someone may look at you and say, you're not as wealthy or you don't have the things that other people have. But listen, all at the same time, as a child of God, you're on your way to heaven. You have that promise of God and the presence of God in your life. And listen, and though you may not outwardly have what somebody else has, but inside there's a peace that the world doesn't understand. That's the blessing of God. The Bible says, here he says to them, he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He said, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Then notice verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then notice verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law of God in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And I'll close the reading there. Verse 16, however, says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and saith not, and two seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, when God looked down at this earth and he saw the sin of this earth, and I'm not going to yell at you and carry on, I just want to talk to you just for a minute. But when God looked at this earth, he saw the creation that God that he had made. When God made Adam and Eve, he saw them and he looked at them and he said they were very good. God was pleased with Adam and Eve and he was pleased with what he had made. It wasn't long before that man had sinned and God was displeased. The Bible says it grieved God that he had made man on the earth. And through the course of time, God found a man named Abraham. And Abraham's parents and his father, his family, were idol worshipers. They worshiped false gods and they didn't know the truth. And God began to work in Abraham's heart. Abram's heart, he called him at that time. And God called Abram out of his father's house. He said, I want you to leave. And he said, I want you to go to a place where I'll tell you of. He said, but first I want you to go. And Abram obeyed God, the Bible says. He went out like God had told him to do. And God told Abram, if you'll obey me, he said, I'll bless you. That's simple. He said, if you'll do what I say, he said, I'll bless you. And one day, Abram had a son. Abraham and his wife Sarah had a son. And God said to Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son up on the mountain, Mount Moriah. And he said, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. You think, how could God do that? But you say, how in the world? Why would he do that? Because God wanted Abraham to show just how willing he was to seek the blessing of God. Abraham coveted the blessing of God above everything else. God never intended to allow Abraham to sacrifice his son. But God did intend for Abraham to show us an example of someone that sought the blessing of God above everything else. Listen, if you'll put the blessing of God first in your life and the desire for God's blessings first, you'll see the blessings of God. And you'll see that the blessing of God outweighs everything else in life. So much today there's taught of the health and wealth type of thing and prosperity type of thing. And I'm not preaching that this morning, but I'm not going to shirk from it this morning. I'm going to give you the Bible version of that, the Baptist version of that. Abraham was a man blessed of God. I want you to understand this, that Abraham, as he took his son up on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice to God, he did it because God said to. And the key to all of God's blessings are obedience to God's Word. I'll read a verse to you in the New Testament in Luke chapter number 11, verse 28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Listen to me, as a younger person here, middle-aged, older person, it doesn't matter. What I'm preaching this morning applies to every person in here. Whether you're single or married, it applies to you. If you have children or grandchildren, it applies to you. If you have any, listen, every person here, what I'm preaching applies to you. Abraham obeyed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But not only that, God was able to bless Abraham because of his obedience. Abraham went to Mount Moriah, he took his son up there, and when he lifted his hand with the knife, Abraham, the angel of the Lord caught Abraham and stopped him, and he told him, he said, look in the bushes there, and there was a ram there, there was a sacrifice there, and God had provided the sacrifice, amen? Showing this, that God does not want man to try to create his own way of salvation, but God makes a way of salvation. The ultimate blessing of God is salvation. Everyone near to a blessed person is blessed by that blessed person. Everyone near to a blessed person. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Listen, America this morning, I believe has been in the past a great nation. Say, preacher, we've got it rough today. I hear people say, man, it's going to get rough. And anybody here, some of you, if there's anybody here that could stand up that had lived 100 years ago, you could stand up and you could testify. And I've heard Brother Anderson, though he wasn't here 100 years ago, but I've heard him talk about going to churches before. He told a story. He told me one time about going to a church out in the country, had a big revival. Lots of people were there. He said there was a lady got up to go to the restroom during the service. She didn't go to the back and go. She went out the back door and went because the restroom was on the outside. She went out back there and he said they were all surprised she never came back. He said after the service was over, probably an hour and a half long, couple hour long service, they went out and looked for her, and she was still in the restroom, only the restroom wasn't standing upright. It had tipped over, right? On top of a car. The car rolled over on top of it. What a predicament that is. Yeah. And hey, and here we go back there, and there's someone in front of us, and we have to wait in line for 2 minutes, and that's troublesome to us. But there, man, listen, hey, in the cold, there wasn't heated bathrooms. I mean, that was the way it was. And people... I remember the big woman part, but I wasn't going to tell that part of it. Amen. But that's right. I remember that part of it. But listen, you imagine that. And people say, boy, times are going to get tough. But you think about how good it is right now. And no matter how tough we may see it in our lifetime, listen, there was this generation just prior to this generation that saw it a whole lot rougher than what it is today. There are married couples in here that have been married 40, somebody maybe 50 years, or maybe you began your married life 40 or 50 years ago. I've heard my mom and dad talk about their first salary. I think, what was it, $1? $1.40 and $1.25. So he was out earning him by a few cents. But listen, their first table was the ironing board that they ate on. Different it is. You say, well, preacher, why are we that way? I'll tell you why. Because 50 years ago in America, there was a generation that loved God. 100 years ago, there were people that were not ashamed of God. But I'm going to tell you what we've done in America. We've introduced the possibility and it's a reality, really not a possibility, that there's coming a generation in America that's not going to know the blessing of God. There's coming a generation in America, whether it's my children or your grandchildren or whatever it is. Listen, America is right now on the border, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but America right now is on the precipice. Right now, America, the debts in America is unbelievable. I mean, listen, we're in a bad shape. And you say, preacher, I don't like to hear that. I don't believe it. If I wanted to hear that, I'd listen to the news or whatever. I don't even have to listen to the news to tell you. I know it's a fact. I know we're in a bad shape. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because America doesn't honor God like we ought to. We don't see. It's not because of the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't have time for all that stuff. You can worry about politics all you want to. I'm worried about, do we as a nation honor God? Do we as a nation even know God anymore? Do we as a nation fear God anymore? And the answer to all of those is no. And you say, but preacher, we're still being blessed. You know why we're being blessed? We're being blessed because of grandma and grandpa. That's why. We're being blessed because of great grandma and great grandpa. We're being blessed because of those who maybe they didn't have much and maybe they worked hard. But when church time came around, they were in the house of God. Well, listen, they got up and they read the Word of God. Why? Listen, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Everyone near a blessed person is blessed by that person. There's a story in the Bible about a fruit tree. And the vines of that tree went over the wall of the city. And the people would come by and they would be able to partake of that fruit. And you know, that's the way a blessed person is. Other people benefit from the blessings of a blessed person. Number two, we ought to covet the blessings of God. More than anything else, we ought to want the blessings of God. I'm not trying to make anything personal this morning, but there's no way in the world that you can raise a family of any size at all in this country today without God's blessing. There's no way. there's no way that you can, you say, but preacher, just times are too tough and it's too hard and all of those things. You've got to have the blessing of God. But that goes for every one of us. You've got to have the blessing of God in your life. There's nothing in this world that I covet any more than God's blessing. That little big-eyed boy sitting there looking at me, staring at me. Don't think for one minute that I'm not aware of the fact that the most important thing that I can do for him is seek God's blessing on my life. You say, preacher, it's not that important. It is that important. Listen to me. All I can do is talk to you this morning, so I hope you can listen to me. Come back next time. I might be able to preach to you. I have 7 demons in my throat right now. I don't feel bad. Just stuff draining down through there. We'll take a torch and put it in my throat when I get home. Listen, there are folks here that have children or grandchildren, children, that their life is being blessed because of someone else's life, maybe yours or someone else. But can I tell you that somewhere along the line, they inherited the blessing, but they've not inherited the desire to have the blessing. You understand? There are people that are being blessed in America. There are young people that are being blessed in America because mom and dad or grandma and grandpa esteemed this book above everything else. They spent more time reading the Word of God than what they did watching the television, watching the filthy movies and the... They wouldn't have someone walk in their house and cuss and swear and carry on. They wouldn't partake of that. Why? Because they wanted God's blessing. They didn't drive to church. They walked to church. Many of them. I mean, their main goal, there was no way in the world. They might miss some things, but they weren't going to miss being in the house of God. And can I tell you that there are people in this room that are reaping the benefits of the blessings of people that were just like that? And to a degree, many of us are like that. We desire the blessing of God. And there'll be children and grandchildren that are reaping the blessings of God. But a sad thing has happened in our country. There's a lack of desire for that blessing of God. And so that blessing is not going to be passed on to another generation. And there's going to come a time in America, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just preaching the truth. England was a nation that was blessed of God. You know what's going on in England right now? You know what the hardship of England and France and Italy is right now? Because they turned away from God. They turned their back. They turned from God. And so they're reaping the hardship. We ought to covet the blessings of God. Number 3, we ought to seek to understand the means to have His blessing. Say, preacher, I'll just pray, God bless me. Or you say, preacher, God will bless me if I put something in the offering. It's not just that simple. I've heard people say, well, you just pray and ask God to bless you and He'll bless you. Now listen, God doesn't bless necessarily a prayer. God blesses a life. What God blesses is a life of obedience to God. You might feel like you say, preacher, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. I don't think it's worth it. It is worth it to keep on living for God. It is worth it to keep on going for God. Why? Why? But you say, but preacher, I don't see the blessings of God. God's Word never fails. And if you or I don't see the blessing of God like we think we should, then someone else that we know will reap the blessing of God because of our obedience to God. We ought to seek to understand the means to have His blessing. What is the means to have the blessing of God? It's His Word. It's to open the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand everything about the Word of God. That's part of what's wonderful about it. But when you open it up and read it, God blesses that. You know, I pick on my mom a lot. Y'all never notice that. And I tease her a lot. But I'm gonna brag on her just for a minute. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. You have to lump it. When I, growing up, every morning when I'd come down the steps, I'd see Mom reading her Bible. And now her favorite thing to do is read the Bible. I've never heard her brag or boast about this, but I happen to know that she's read through the Bible from cover to cover over 32 times, I believe. That's how many books in the Bible? Somebody tell me. 66. Can I tell you this? I'm no fool to think that not part of the reason why God blesses, and a big reason why there's a blessing of God on my life, is because of the obedience of my mom and my dad to the Word of God, the love that they have to God's Word. My dad was a boilermaker. Dad would work a lot of times, and he worked a lot of jobs that he was out of town. Sometimes he'd be gone for 6 or 7 months and work 7:10, 7:12. And we wouldn't see him for a long time. Dad had come in on Saturday morning. One Saturday night he'd come in, and he had worked a job in New Martinsville. He had stopped there on the way in and at a little place where he had eaten before, and I guess it was a kind of a restaurant, and they probably had alcohol there. You can look at that any way you want to, but it's the only place he had open, and he went in there, and he was eating. Fella come in and said, whose car is that out there? It's parked in my spot. And Dad finally spoke up, and he said, that's my car. He said, you need to move your car. He said, that's my spot. And Dad said, well, I'll move it when I'm done eating. He said, I'm almost done. So a fight started. My dad's about 51 years old, on his way home from work. This guy's high on something, God only knows what. I mean, and somebody was there said they saw Dad. He hit him and knocked him across the parking lot. The guy came back and said, he shouldn't have been doing that. Well, you put yourself, the guy was going to try to kill him. He was trying to, he wasn't asking for a fight, looking for one. I'm not saying that you got to do it that way. I'm just saying that's what happened. When you get to heaven, you can tell him what a sinner he was. Amen. He wasn't proud of it. He was ashamed of what happened. He was saddened by it, but that's where he was. And so anyway, police came. Finally, the police were able to crowd this guy. He was trying to kill the police. He was a madman. Dad was just fighting to save his life. Dad didn't have any hair. This guy had hair. Dad's pulling his hair, hitting him, and the guy said, "You're not. It's not fair. You're pulling my hair." Dad said, "Well, you pull mine." He said, "You don't have any." He said, "Well, good." He said, "That's one advantage." And Dad was just trying to survive. He wasn't looking for a fight. I mean, in earlier days, he looked for him, but he wasn't looking for one that night. He was just looking to get home. He come home on Saturday night, black eyes. He wasn't going to go to church that morning. But he did. Because he had a little 5 or 6 year old little boy that was used to him. When he was home, he went to church. And I guess I don't know if I cried or what I did. I begged him, but Dad went to church that morning, black eyes. The preacher said, "I never felt so sorry for anybody in all my life. If anybody ever had an excuse not to come to church, you had one." He had to go and explain to everybody what happened to him. But you see, though he worked and he was gone, when my dad was home, we went to church. He didn't send us to church. He went with us. I cannot tell you of a time that I ever remember my dad sitting at home and not going to church. The last place my dad went before he left this world was to church on Sunday morning, church on Sunday night. On Saturday, he came out and even took a fellow soul winning, knowing that he was sick. He went home on Monday and stayed home on Monday and died on Tuesday. I want you to understand something. There is a way that you can have God's blessing in your life. And the blessing of God ought to be covered above everything else in this life is God's blessing. I believe God wants to do good things for His people. Every once in a while I run into Christians that want to impress you by how hard their life is. And you don't have to live a luxurious life. But as a child of God, we ought not to ever try to give people the idea that God's not good to His children. Never. Never.
If there's anything I've learned in reading my Bible, I've learned that God wants to do good things for us. I know that He's a better daddy than I am. And I know this as a daddy to my, I want to spend time with my kids. I want to do things for them. I look for ways to show them I love them. And if I do that, then how much more? How much multiplied, manifold times more does my Heavenly Father want to spend time with me and do things for me and say to me, Travis, I love you. And can I tell you this morning, Christian, God wants to let you know He loves you, but oftentimes we're so... He's not going to tap you on the shoulder while you're living in sin and ignoring Him. Because God really don't... I mean, He loves you then, but He doesn't love what you're doing. And God says, I want you to spend some time in My Word. Won't you be faithful to My house? Won't you quit looking for excuses not to be in church and start looking for ways to be there and be faithful and sit there? Why? Hey, not because necessarily you have to hear what I say, but God blesses faithfulness. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Let's be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful to the house of God. Say, preacher, I don't believe going to church will save you. I don't either. I believe you can move into church, won't save you. But I tell you what, I believe a saved person that wants the blessings of God is smart enough to realize that God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, you say, preacher, what if I don't feel like it? How many times have I heard people say, man, I didn't feel like coming out to church, but I left feeling better than I came. And it ain't just feeling better than you came. It's obeying God because God wants to bless you. No blessing is greater. Number one, I said everyone near to a blessed person is blessed by that blessed person. Number two, I said we ought to covet the blessings of God. Not just for our sake, but for the sake of others. Number three, we ought to seek to understand the means of His blessing. How does God bless us? Simplest way I can tell you is God blesses you as you reverence His Word and obey His Word. God blesses that. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, the Bible said, is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the Bible says the ungodly are not so. That means that the ungodly live a life opposite of that. Opposite to that. Listen, I'm saying as Christians, we ought to learn. Say, preacher, I try to read the Bible, but I don't get that excited about it. Can I tell you what? You read it, and you spend time in the Word of God, and you'll develop a taste for the Word of God. Let me give you a simple illustration. There are a lot of things I eat that other people can't stand. So far, I've never overcome my fear of Sister Connie of squid. If Marjorie was here, Marjorie's cooked squid, and I've smelled it before. And if it's cooking in the house, I got to crawl through the house. The last time, if I hear about it, I mean, it just there's something about it. One of these days, I might try it, but I don't know yet. And maybe Connie's, yours isn't like Marjorie's. I don't know. I'll have to check it out sometime. But I can eat about anything. I mean, I eat something, and I like a lot of things that other people don't eat. I try to get my kids to eat some stuff. I want to kill them. In Christian love, you would think I was eating poison. I'm sitting here eating it, and I'll give it to them. And go, little Angelia, the other day she was hungry. I said, well, buddy, if you're hungry, I said, I got something here that's good for you. It's called pork and beans. And she said, I'm hungry. I said, okay, we're going to see. I opened up a can of pork and beans, and I warmed them up and shoveled her out some and shoveled Kayla out some. Boy, they ate them. I gave Caleb some of them, my boy. He said, oh, it tastes like dog food, Daddy. The other day, Angelia come in. Daddy, she said, "Daddy, I want some of that food that makes me strong." I said, "What?" She said, pork and beans, she said. Man, she'll eat it too. I happen to think pork and beans are good for you. Amen. That's probably so. But I tell you what, hey, that'll do you good. Amen. You can live on that. You can't live on French fries very long. Amen. But listen, what is that? It's you got to develop a taste for stuff. I like bologna sandwiches. Amen. Now, my wife doesn't like bologna. She never ate it growing up. But she likes macaroni and cheese. They ate that every other meal. Amen. You see, there's some things you got to develop a taste for. I like pinto beans. My wife don't like pinto beans very much. She didn't eat this. She grew up in Northwest Indiana. I'm teasing. This is my Sunday mom's birthday, so I pick on Jessica this morning. I'm a bully. One time, we weren't married very long. Jessica said, "You want some pinto beans?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Okay." She said, "When you coming home?" I said, "I'll be here in about an hour." She said, "I'm going to put some on." That's about 15 minutes, you know. She's going to open the can, and that was it, you know. I'm used to pinto beans all day long, man, boiling on the stove, you know. But you got to develop a taste for something. And can I tell you this morning again, I appreciate you for allowing me just to stand up here and blah, blah, blah at you like a nut. But you open the Bible up, you begin to read the Word of God, and you'll develop a taste for the Word of God. And not only will you get good things from God's Word, but also God will bless you as you read and study His Word. You read it and you obey it and God will bless you. The next one is this. No blessing is greater than the blessing of salvation. There's no blessing any greater than salvation. Can I tell you this morning, and I'm going to close with this. I preached this morning, the Bible talked about the curse of the law and sin. Every man's born under a curse. And the curse of the law is hell. The penalty of that curse is hell. But Jesus paid the penalty for us on the cross. You see, salvation, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What's so wonderful about salvation and the great blessing of salvation is this, is that Jesus Christ bore my sin for me on Calvary. That means He took my punishment for me. I told in Sunday school about a little incident where I got in some trouble and I had to go to the court, stand before the judge, and I had to pay a fine. I could have gone to that courtroom and I could have tried to impress that judge with my smile, and that wouldn't have helped me. I could have told him I dressed up and I tried to look nice and I shaved and looked nice and combed my hair and I could have looked around so I look better than anybody else here. So maybe on those grounds the judge will show leniency. If that was the case, it didn't help any. I don't even think he noticed the jacket that I had on. I don't think it mattered. I don't think it helped me one bit. The ultimate thing was, he said to me, he said, "You should have known the law." He said, "It's your fault, your responsibility to know what the law is, and here's the fine. How are you going to pay it?" I said, "I'll take the payments." I could have gone to jail. That would have been a vacation for a couple of days to go rest there in the jail, but take my Bible and just read, but I don't think that would have looked good. But I took the penalty. The only thing that could have saved me had someone in that courtroom rushed to my side and said to that judge, "Judge, I understand the penalty is and the price, and I heard the declaration. I heard that he's guilty. But Judge, I want you to know that I'm going to pay that fine for him. I'll pay that fine so that he can have his license and keep driving." I was driving on a suspended license, in case any of you want to write something and say, what was I doing? I didn't know it was. I didn't know I had done it. I didn't realize it. It's my fault. Something had happened, and I had my license, and I didn't get it taken care of, and had to pay a fine. But no one paid it for me. I paid it. But that's, had someone offered to pay it, I'd have said, thank you. And man, and listen, and I probably would have wrote him a little note and said, thank you. And I probably would have remembered that the rest of my life. And every time I saw that person, I'd say, man, thank you for helping me out. And I don't plan on doing it again, so you've missed your opportunity. But I wasn't looking forward to wasting that money on that, but I had to do it. But can I tell you, the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is hell. And if you're saved this morning, you're blessed among all people. Because why? Because you've partaken of God's gift of salvation. Totally free. The penalty is set. The fact remains, we're guilty before God. The penalty, the payment for the sin, for the crime is hell. The judgment. God's a just God. He's not going to change. The only way you'll escape is through Jesus Christ. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved for eternity. You're blessed. If you're saved, you're blessed. You ought to rejoice in the blessing of God. We ought to sing praise to His name and rejoice in Him and tell people about Him and not be ashamed of Him and let everybody know how good He is. There's a story about a little boy that was a homeless boy. He lived near a seaport town over in London, England. Over in England, and he lived near a harbor where the boats came and traded. This little boy went to one day he was down watching the boats come in and out of the port, and he decided that he had no better life to live than to just jump on board one of those boats and sail off into the sea. Ocean. And so he got on board that boat, not knowing where it was going to go and not having any idea what was going to happen. Nobody knew him. He was a nobody. He was totally insignificant. No one knew he left. No one knew he was on the ship. His life was of absolute no value to anybody. That ship began to take on water. The ship was about to sink, and the people aboard the ship were ordered overboard, over into the lifeboats. There was enough lifeboats for every person on the ship, so there was no danger. There was no alarm. Everything was going fine. The last person boarded the ship, and the captain being still on board, waiting to take his place in one of the lifeboats, he looked to the steps coming from the lower deck, and the little boy ran out. Scared and alarmed, realizing what was happening. He had been asleep, not aware of what was going on, but he woke up to see that the ship was sinking. The people were boarding the lifeboats. The captain yelled, "Son, run! Run to me, son! Run to me!" And the little boy ran, and the captain picked him up, and without any hesitation at all, picked the little boy up and put him in the last lifeboat and cut the rope. And the captain doomed himself to go down with that ship and be lost at sea. He gave his life, he gave his place on the lifeboat for that little boy. That little boy, realizing what had happened, more and more as he sailed on that little boat, by the time he got to shore, he was so grateful. He felt a debt, a burden, a gratitude that he owed. And he began to ask the people who the name of that captain was, and he went to his family and saw that man had a wife and had children. He told the wife, he said, "I'm sorry for what I've done." He said, "I'm thankful, though." He said, "I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for your husband." He said, "I can never make up what I've done." He said, "But would you mind?" He said, "Would you please?" He said, "May I at least have a picture of him?" He said, "Because as long as I live," he said, "I want to tell everybody I know the great price he paid for me, someone so insignificant that he was willing to die for me. I can't make it up, and would you mind?" And she did. She gave him a picture. For the rest of that little boy's life, he carried that picture as he grew into a man, and he would tell people, every chance he'd get, he'd tell them about that man that gave his life for him. Was that? That's the blessing of, that's gratitude. You understand, that's the way we ought to be. The greatest blessing that God ever gave to us is He saved our souls from hell. And my, oh my, we ought to rejoice in that. I'm thankful this morning for the blessings of God. I'm thankful that I've seen so many of God's blessings. I've seen miracles of God, I believe. I count them among His blessings. Time would not allow me to tell all the blessings of God I've seen in my life. But I can say to you this morning, as a child of God, we ought to covet His blessings. We ought to seek the Word of God and understand what it means to be blessed of God. We ought to rejoice in the greatest of all blessings, and that's salvation. And if you've never been saved, I want you to understand this morning that God wants to save you. And He'll save you, and you'll have a home in heaven. And that'd be the greatest blessing you'll ever receive. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, and we prayed before, I pray You'd use the message this morning, dear God, that if there's one here this morning lost, I pray they'd come and accept Christ as Savior. I pray that nothing would hinder them. God, I pray this would be the day that they would accept Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray. In Your name we ask it, amen. If you're here this morning, if you're a child of God, you pray with me. You be praying for those that might not know the Lord. If you'd like to come to the altar and pray as a Christian, you come. But if you're here this morning not saved, I want you to know Jesus loves you. That doesn't change the penalty of sin. The penalty's set, but Jesus Christ bore the punishment for you. And He'll accept you and save you if you'll ask Him. Let's all stand. Sister Echo, please, if you need to come this morning, you come. Maybe there's someone you want to come pray for. Maybe you just want to come and ask God and thank God for saving you. If you need to come, you come.